I know God can still move mountains, amen. I'm thankful He is there for us. If you want your Bibles this morning, turn to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be in verses 4 and 5 today, and then next Sunday be in 6, 7, and 8. But we'll go ahead and read verses 4 through 8. Appreciate the ladies singing this morning. Also appreciated my caramel macchiato this morning that those ladies or somebody over there. Most of those ladies are in the coffee shop. I appreciate our millennials and the job they do. Some of the Generation Z crowd who work in the coffee shop, because that's what Z and millennials do, apparently. Talking about cultures, Maren, you know, I pick on the millennials, and I want to start including Generation Z in there as well, because I think it's important that we have equal opportunity to pick on both of those crowds. And we are so blessed to have such a great group of diverse ages in our church. It's amazing. And we are so blessed. And diverse people from around the country. It's amazing. If I was, I'm not going to try it this morning because I've tried it before. I know we're outnumbered. If I was to say to you, are you from the north or the south? The north they're more than us. So I'm going to be nice and just go on. I'm glad you're here. South arise again. We're so thankful. God's been so good to us. Literally, the world is moving here. And we're responsible to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody has said the mind is a terrible thing to waste. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. But I want to say practically that many of us, from time to time, we waste a lot of mental power. And by that I mean we spend time worrying and stressing out and having anxiety, and you may lay down in your head at night and think of something that is bothering you, and you just run it around in circles, don't you? Just keep thinking about it, keep thinking about it, keep thinking about it, until it causes anxiety in your life, floods your mind and eats away at your mind. And I want to encourage you this morning. I'm looking forward to these couple, maybe even four messages here these next 4 weeks on, again, our thoughts and stewarding our thoughts. And what? How do we have peace? And how do we experience that peace that God so desires each of us to have? So Paul gives us a prescription for that here in Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That phrase there, be careful for nothing, means don't worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on those good things. Get your mind off of that stuff that's running your mind around in circles and causing stress and anxiety in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. I do pray, God, that we would see very clearly over the next few weeks your prescription that you have given us what we need to experience a peaceful life, a content life. And Lord, may we apply the scriptures to our life. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to cover first off for just a few minutes about this peace of God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm thankful as a Christian, as a child of God, that I can experience the peace of God. But I'm also thankful at the age of 6 years old that I knelt in prayer in my pastor's office and attained, if you would, peace with God. I didn't attain it, I didn't earn it, but I received peace with God. So there's a peace of God that Christians, the children of God, experience on a regular basis. And at some point in your life, you should have experienced peace with God. There should be a time in your life you look back and you say, yes, I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 6, or I accepted my Christ as my Savior when I was 25. I remember when I asked Jesus Christ to save me. understand that we are born into this world at enmity with God, at war with God, if you would. That we are born in sin. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered to the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, all mankind, for all have sinned. That through Adam, because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, that we are born with a sinful disposition. We are born with a sinful nature. We are born selfish by nature. This is one of the areas that the liberals have a hard time with, because they believe that all people are innately good. And the Bible makes it very clear that people are not innately good. That they are naturally, they naturally are not good. That you, just take a 3 or 4 year old. You have to teach them not to be selfish. They don't born naturally selfless. Mine, you know, mine. It's a cartoon, sorry. Mine, they want mine. It's my toy, my stuff, my things. And you have to, you know, slap them on the hand, or, you know, you get onto them to teach them to be selfless. We are born selfish. That's, and by the way, that's the biblical definition of sin. Sin is selfishness. The Bible says the wages, the penalty of sin is death. Revelation describes that death as the lake of fire. The penalty for sin is hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I could come to the Lord believing that he lived, believing that he died, believing that he was buried and he rose again the third day. And when I personally accept him as my Savior, when I trust him and him alone, by the way, being a Baptist is not going to get you to heaven. Getting dunked in all the water you can find will not get you into heaven. Being sprinkled with all the water you can find will not get you to heaven, no matter who is doing the sprinkling. The only way to get to heaven, the only way to escape hell, the only way to have your sins forgiven is by putting your trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not of works, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved, rescued by faith. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is found as a free gift that we receive by way of putting our trust, transferring our trust from whatever source it is that you think is getting you to heaven, whether that be baptism or being a good person, and transferring that trust to Jesus and him alone. Again, it's not about what we do. It's about what he already did on the cross and on the cross of Calvary and rising again from the dead. So there's the peace of God that's spoken of here in verse 7, but that's not going to help you this morning if you don't have the peace with God. Peace with God. And then, Christian, this morning, if you've been saved, you've been rescued, your sins are forgiven, you're now a child of God, there's a promise for you. And that promise is that God will give you peace. In this world, you'll not have peace. The world can't give peace that Jesus said like I give. The peace that Christ gives passeth all understanding. I've seen it. I've been at gravesides and watched Christians. And I had the opportunity this week. I had an opportunity to preach Thursday morning for a preacher's fellowship in Sherman at our home church, in Grace and Bible Baptist Church in Sherman, for Brother Roy Webster. And on my way back, I preached a funeral. I mentioned it to you guys, but James and Lisa Robertson called me. One of our charter members, and they moved to Austin a long time ago, and they called me and said, hey, my sister passed away, and we'd like for you to do the funeral. Would you do that? I said, oh, absolutely. And it's amazing going to Denton and doing that funeral. Again, the family, just the peace that was there. She died. She was in her late 60s. God is so good. God gives us peace unlike anything we can understand. Do you have that peace and that contentment? The Lord wants you to have that. So again, we are promised this peace of God. Peace of God. God's plan for handling stress and stressful days in our life are found here in these particular scriptures. For so many of us, life is filled to capacity. How about you? How's your schedule? Stress and worry can control our thoughts if we're not careful. We need to be so careful about it. Sometimes that stress is stuff we could avoid. Sometimes we create our own stress, right? Shouldn't have bought that car. Shouldn't have put all that stuff on that credit card. Hello? Sometimes we create our own stress. Control your spending and you wouldn't have the stress that you have. But many times the stress we experience is things that are out of our control. It's when we go to the doctor and we're given a bad report. Maybe you go to your job on a Monday morning and you're given a pink slip. Not because of something you did, but they're just laying off, 100 people or whatever the case is. So many things that we experience that cause stress in our life and anxiety in our life is things that we cannot control. Our response can be either positive or negative. And so many times we have a negative response. We may begin to be critical of others. In other words, well, that person did this to me, so this happened to me. We began to be critical of others, or maybe we just go hide in our work. I would never do that. Many of us have jobs that you can literally just work all day, every day if you wanted to. So you just go hide in your work. By the way, it's not going to relieve your stress. Sometimes it's to take a vacation, and certainly taking a vacation and getting away will help short term if you have a problem with stress and things in your life. But all these things are short-term remedies. Going to a baseball game or going to a football game or going to a movie and being entertained will kind of get your mind off things. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but understand that they're just short-term remedies. Just like drugs. If you have a stressful and you have anxiety in your life and you turn to drugs, those drugs are only going to relieve that problem. That bottle, that alcohol is only going to relieve that stress for just a little bit. And by the way, those are going to cause other problems. They're going to cause you anxiety and stress. And because you reap what you sow, right? How do we, as Christians, how do we as children of God experience peace? This peace is promised to us. Romans chapter 12, our theme for the year. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Reasonable service. And what does the next verse say? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Do you realize that you can experience a renewed mind? That your thoughts and your brain can be captivated by something other than the anxiety and the stress that you're experiencing? And God's promised us this. He's promised to give us peace. We so many times get in these stressful and anxiety in our life, and we allow it to control us. And it affects us. It affects not only our body, but our emotions. And we begin to harbor things that we shouldn't be harboring. We begin to be resentful towards people we shouldn't. And that creates bitterness in our life. It creates anger in our life. How do we change our thinking? Well, what's the best cure for stress? It's stewarding our thoughts. Stewarding our thoughts is this. Here's the definition. This is by Paul Chappell. Here's the definition he gave. It is the process of learning to think biblically in stressful times. It's really the application of the other stewarding we've been talking about. And that is, if we're going to steward our lives, then we need to find out what the Bible says. And just live our life according to the Bible. Let the Bible be our guide. So in this instance, when it comes to stress and pressure and anxiety in our life, what are we to do? Well, we're to think biblically. And number one, verse 4 says, look at our text, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We need to think and remember that God is good. Rejoice in what? The Lord. Praise Him. Well, preacher, and when I get down, I'm just not wired that way. I don't know that I can just praise the Lord and whatever. None of us are wired that way. When things aren't going our way, we're all prone to be negative. We're all prone. Hello? Don't be hypocritical. We're all prone to be negative. And so we need to remember to rejoice in the Lord. We need to remember to think about Him, that God is good. Remember the infinite goodness of God. Focus on Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. The author, turn your eyes on Him. The author and finisher of our faith. so important. We can rejoice when we get a raise. We can rejoice when we get a new toy. We can rejoice in our hobbies. But what about our circumstances? By the way, joy, again, we've defined joy many times here from the pulpit, but joy is not based upon circumstances. This peace that I'm talking about is not based upon circumstances in your life. God has given us and will give us peace and joy when we choose to obey and rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Him. I know I quote this very, very often, but it's still my favorite quote from A.W. Tozer. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Because what you think about God affects every decision in your life. How big is your God? Is He able to overcome whatever has come in, the circumstances come into your life? Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe He's good all the time? Do you believe that God always has your best interest in mind? That He's our Heavenly Father. I have the best interest of my kids when I was raising them. I had their best interest in mind, which meant from time to time not only giving them good things, but also training them by using some negative pressure. The Board of Education to the seat of understanding. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says if, anyway, it's not. I don't have time to preach on training children. The proper way to do it. Do it the Bible way. By the way, if you train your children the Bible way, you're promised by God that He'll bless it. Amen. What comes in your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Rejoicing really boils down to this. Rejoicing in the Lord boils down to this. It boils down to your relationship with Jesus. If you're from Texas, it boils down. I wanted to make sure I clearly stated the word for you guys. It boils down to your relationship with Jesus. How closely are you walking with the Lord? How personally are you with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you spending time with Him? The deeper your relationship with God and the fuller your understanding of who He is, the more reason you will have to rejoice in Him. We praise Him not because of everything He's... praise Him not because everything is going well, but because He is good. Because He is God. And He always has your best interest in mind. He's commanded us to rejoice. Look at the verse again. What does it say? Rejoice in the Lord. It's a command. Christian, it's a command to rejoice in the Lord. We choose to do so. By the way, look at the verse again. Rejoice in the Lord what? Sometimes? Always. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard to comprehend that we are to rejoice always in the Lord. It's hard to get around that word. We all experience good days. We all experience bad days. Sometimes the car won't start. If it's a Dodge or a Ford. The doctor's report comes out. Whatever it may be, we may be beaten down and seem like being crushed, but He says that we should rejoice in the Lord always. Acts 5:41 describes the apostles who had been beaten, and as they left the council, it says they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy of suffering. They rejoiced in their suffering. We as Christians can rejoice in our suffering. How? The apostles felt the pain of the lashes. They felt the humiliation, yet they rejoiced. How did they do that? They had a high view of Christ. They had the proper view of God. And they rejoiced in the Lord. Understand that rejoicing in the Lord is the right choice. It's good for us. It'll help us. A Dr. Hart has said this. He said, anxiety and laughter cannot coexist. I love that. Let me say it again. It's a quote. Not my quote. Anxiety and laughter cannot coexist. Rejoice in the Lord. You want relief from stress? Rejoice in the Lord. God is good. And He's good all the time. And secondly, moderation. Look at the next verse. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And in this particular instance, this verse has been used out of context many, many times to talk to people about being moderate and whatever it may be. But this is really talking about your attitude. It's really talking about your frame of mind towards others and towards your circumstances. And that our moderation should be known. Moderation means calmness. a good word for it would be poise. You ever met anybody who didn't ruffle very easy? Some of them old Westerns, you know, guys sitting there at the table trying to get him riled, you know, they humiliate him, make fun of him. He just sits there and knock his hat off. He's not ruffled. You're not going to ruffle my feathers, you know. Poised. Then finally gets up and he shoots everybody and everybody dies. But that's not the point of the message. But here it says, let your moderation be known. Let your calmness be known. We as Christians can experience that poise. Poise. Calmness. Can I remind you there is an enemy and he's real. Revelation 12 speaks about, again, the enemy that accuses. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's planting thoughts in our minds. He's belittling us. He's calling you a loser. He wants you to experience hardship, and he wants you to be negative about those things that come into your life that are hard. He wants to steal your joy, and he absolutely wants to magnify your stress. Met anybody like that? They have a little problem, but it just begins to grow. It's like the fishing story, right? But caught it this long. It just grows. That's Satan. He wants you to think on the negative. He wants you to think on the circumstances in your life that's causing that anxiety and that stress in your life. He wants you to lay down at night and to think about that problem that's going on in your life and just roll it around till 2 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning. You ever been there? 4 o'clock in the morning. You say, I gotta go to work at 6. You know, I gotta go to work at 6. I'm gonna get an hour sleep or 2 hours sleep. And Satan wants you to think on those things. By the way, as a man thinketh, so is he. You choose to do those things. You choose to continue to think about those things and allow those things to control you. It says, let your moderation, again, this calmness. Again, we are to maintain a sweet disposition and through stress and be careful about worrying about things and whether it's our job or whatever it may be, we need to be careful. Be careful. Don't allow your mind to stay in that stressful position. Your mind needs rest. We can have contentment in Christ. Think about a child having contentment in the arms of their dad or their mom. We can have contentment in the arms of our Heavenly Father. We can rest in Him. Psalm 46 says, rest or wait on the Lord. Trust in Him. Be still. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Trust in Him. As we spend time with Him, He gives us peace. He's on our side. Do you believe that this morning? God's on your side. If you're saved this morning, you're a child of God, God's on your side. I'm thankful I always knew that my dad was on my side. And I'm glad my Heavenly Father's always on my side. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. Wait on Him. Trust Him. Waiting time is not wasted time. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. If you want to look it up later, Hebrews 13, 4, 5 through 6. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Again, speaks about waiting, trusting Him. And then lastly, rest in His will. Think about Job. Job said in Job 23, verse 10, I'm going to summarize it. He said, Lord, Job had lost everything. Lost his home, lost his wealth, lost his 10 children. They all died. His wife comes and curses him and said, won't you just curse God and die? And Job began to question God. He began to ask for someone who could tell him why this was happening in his life. He uses the word mediator. I wish there was a mediator that would be between me and God and tell me what's going on. But finally, there in Job 23, he says, I'm just going to trust Him. Lord, I know there's a good reason for this because I know You do all things for my good. And I'm summarizing it for Job, but God knows. God knows where you're at. God knows the circumstances you are in. And God has a plan for your life. He knows you. He knows all about your needs. And we need to have peace in Him. God does all things well, the Bible says. God does all things well. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You believe that? Why can we trust Him? Understand, and this is let me read this and I'm done. The circumstances in my life are no accident. They may be the work of evil, but that evil is subject to the hand of the Lord. Remember that God permits, to the child of God, God permits everything that comes into your life. Satan can't just come and attack you. Satan can't cause evil in your life without asking the Lord for permission. The Bible makes that clear in the book of Job and a couple other places in the New Testament. Listen, he permits it. And if he's permitted it in your life, then it's for your good. Because he works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. What is the prescription for peace? Rejoice in the Lord. God is good. He's good all the time. And then moderation. Pray for patience. I know we say don't do that because God's going to allow things in our life. But give us patience. But pray that God would give you that. When you're having those thoughts and you're having the stress in your life, go to him. Praise him. Praise him always. Remember God's attributes. Remember that God is in control. I asked the question this morning, do you have peace with God? Do you know you're saved this morning? Is there a point in time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone as your Savior? If not, we'd love to show you. In a minute, we're going to invite you to come to the front, and we'd love to show you how you can have eternal life. Christian, this morning, do you have the peace of God? Do you have peace in your life? Because as I am a broken record, because I say it often from the pulpit, God always, always has your best interest in mind. And whatever is in your life, he's permitted. And may we rest in him. May we be still and wait on him. Because waiting on him is not wasted time. God is good. Let's all stand. Have a verse of invitation. By the way, that Romans 8:28 says he works some things to our good. No, it says all things together for good. Maybe remember that. Rejoice in the Lord, and to let your moderation be known unto all men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had. And Lord, may we take these wonderful truths that Paul gave us and maybe apply them to our lives. God, may you, we understand and know you permitted these things in our life, but God, may you, as you've promised, to strengthen us and give us peace through the circumstances. I'm thankful I have you to walk me through those times of stress and anxiety in my life. Lord, may we choose to rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.